You know, it's interesting because as I was looking at splitting up this book of Ephesians, and what I talked about last week, I know that I love preaching some interesting topics, because as I'm preaching these interesting topics and I look out on the congregation, I see faces, and I see their faces and how they respond to things. And I mean, anytime you start begin to talk about sex or intimacy or virginity, people will go, "Are you allowed to say those words in church?" Yes, you're allowed to say those words in church. And so saying those things last week, it was just fun watching your all's faces. I just want to let you know. And it was also fun burying myself in the place where my section is. But today we're going to take a hard look at what Paul says about marriages. Now, I understand that not all of you in here are married. I understand that some of you in here don't have any interest in being married and have no interest in finding another spouse or those types of things. And I told the Sunday school class this morning that I said one of the things that I used to try to do was try to share a message that was for everyone, that it would not leave anyone out. And I that worked well for a long time until I figured out that God, when God speaks and he wants you to share something, you can't stop saying it just because it's not going to reach everyone. So I realized when I talk about husbands and wives today that there's going to be a portion of the population, or a portion of the congregation, I should say, that this may not seem at surface level to relate to you. You would be wrong, but I will allow you to understand that. Let me explain. Paul uses the marriage relationship, husbands and wives, as this example of the church. And he actually says at the end of Ephesians 5, which we'll read here in a moment, he talks about the mystery, if you will, which we're going to explain what the mystery is. But we're going to take a look at it. But Paul explains that the mystery is not necessarily just husbands and wives. It's about the church, too. One of my favorite marriage books that I love to read is called Sacred Marriage. And in the book Sacred Marriage, there's a quote that I absolutely love, and he says, "What if marriage wasn't intended to make you happy, but it was intended to make you holy instead?" Yeah. And that's an amazing thing to think about for a moment. Because see, when we get married today, what do we marry someone who makes me happy, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, you don't want to be married to someone that's a prune like Jay. I mean, that's really hard to read. I understand. I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. I say that jokingly because Jay is the last thing when you talk about a prune. I can just imagine that he's telling worse dad jokes than I just did all day long to Doreen. He's probably calling you up and texting you to dad jokes, isn't he, Doreen? Yes. Chaz isn't here, Jay.
I know. Sorry.
Chad. He's mad at me when I tease him. So. No, but I think the reality of it is that marriage is... I totally lost my train of thought. Marriage is this beautiful picture of what it's like for the church. This mystery, this understanding. So if we can understand what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a wife, in context of not only in our relationship, but also in the context of the church, then we can be better, not only churchgoers, if we can say that, but we can also be better Christians. See, marriage wasn't intended just to make you happy, as the book says. It was intended to make you whole. And there's not a better picture of what the church looks like than what the picture of marriage that Paul gives to us in Ephesians 5. So let's read there, and then we'll pray, and we'll jump into the service. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading in verses 22 through 33. It starts off by saying, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord," and all the ladies in the church. That's right. Oh. Hold on. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. His body is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word that Paul has given to us. And Lord, sometimes when we read difficult things, we're not quite sure how to handle those things. But that's when you always are there beside us, giving us the wisdom that we need. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you come and that you give us that wisdom, that guidance, that protection, that strength that we need to not only wrestle with these thoughts and these words, but also how do we live these things out? How do we live out and be the mystery that Paul is speaking about? So Lord, I ask you that you just open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to hear from you today. Lead us and guide us in these things today, Father. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, that it would be truly your words, that you would speak to us through those words today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. So, I have done, over the 20 years I've been a pastor, I've done almost 146 marriages, ceremonies. Amazing. In its own right, I can't believe that I've done that many. I felt really old saying that. But one of the things that I do not sacrifice this. I tell people, if you would like me to do your ceremony, then you must walk through and set through premarital counseling with me. That is one of my requirements. I do. I am not going to do a ceremony for a couple that I have not had an opportunity to do premarital counseling with. There's been one couple I've done that with, and I've even come back afterwards. After they're wanting to do premarital counseling. The reason why I do that is because when we understand marriage in the context that it's intended to be, it's not just intended to be something that makes you happy and that you like the person that you're married to. Is that important? As I said before, yes, that's very important. But marriage was intended to do way more than that. Marriage is this beautiful picture of exactly how the church is supposed to operate with Christ. In addition to that, when we see words like, or when we read verses like this very first one, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I remember one of the first five weddings that I did, as I was sharing in premarital counseling with a couple, I said, I read this during most ceremonies that I do, and I looked at the wife goes, oh, well, I can't say the word that she said, but she said, there's no way that's going to be in my ceremony. And I said, well, then I'm probably not the right person to be doing your ceremony. She's like, what? And I said, let me explain to you. And see, when we look at this word submission, when you read this word, when you read this verse, wives, submit to your own husbands, what we often think about and what often comes across is the mind of someone slamming on the table, going, you're going to do what I say or else, right? That's the rap that this verse has got for many years. And in many ways, there have been many men that have caused submission to be an issue inside the church and inside their marriage relationship because of that very thing. They expect their wives to be at home. I was going to say barefoot and pregnant, but that wouldn't be very kosher, would it? But they expect their wives to do exactly what they want them to do. Well, that worked maybe back in the 1800s. That certainly doesn't work today. We live in a different time schedule today. Does that mean that God's word has changed? No, it doesn't. God's word is the same today as it was in the 1800s, as it was in the 1700s, as it was the time that Jesus walked the face of the earth. So what do we do with this verse when it says this? Well, we have to understand and read this in full context. And so we have to understand exactly what the word submission actually means. Do you know that submission is a fundamental biblical concept? And submission doesn't just apply to husbands and wives, by the way. I don't know if you know that. But Scripture is very clear. In fact, if we were to read just one verse earlier, Paul actually talks about that we should all submit to each other. He actually begins not with the wives submitting to the husbands, but the one verse right before that, he says we should submit to each other. What does that mean? Does that mean that husbands should submit to their wives? In Christ, yes. And we should, as congregants, as people who go to church together, submit to each other. That's what Paul is saying. But you have to understand that, first of all, to fully grasp what submission is, you have to understand that it is fundamentally a biblical concept. It signifies a voluntary act of surrendering one's will. Why does that matter? Well, that matters because if I came to you and I said, you have to do this, or else, what does that become? That's no longer voluntary. That's not submission, that's called slavery. There's a difference there, right? Submission is where you freely give. Slavery is where you're forced to give. There's a difference there. What's so funny? Wait a minute, was there a joke back there?
It's
doing like
through all my marriages,
right? Sorry. submission also you not only have to surrender one's will, but you also you have to surrender your desires. And it's generally caused to submit those things to a higher power or authority. In fact, all over Scripture, it's very clear that we have to give up. Jesus was asked to submit to God the Father. Do you understand that? Jesus, the one that is our Savior, the one who died on the cross for us, submitted his will to his Father. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, Father, but let yours be done." What was he doing? He was submitting his feelings. He was submitting his understanding. He was submitting his desires. All of this is, he didn't want to die on the cross. He didn't want to go through pain. Who does? But he submitted that to his Father. So you have to understand that to fully grasp what submission is, it is not just a fundamental biblical concept dealing with marriage. That is wrong. Submission is a fundamental biblical concept that starts from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. It is all over the Bible. And what we have caused, we have used submission as something that will serve our acts and our point of view versus what it truly is. The simple truth is that husbands and wives are asked to submit to Christ, to each other. It isn't given over your power. It isn't given everything that you are. It isn't allowing someone to walk all over you and tell you all of these things. It is a free gift that we give. Now, here's the issue. The issue with this is that there are extremes. The extremes come from the place where we expect, there are some men in marriages that expect ladies to just submit to them and to do whatever they say. Well, I want you to understand that there's nowhere in Scripture that Jesus and Scripture tells you that you submit to sin. You do not. If your husband, ladies, asks me to submit to them in sin, that is not biblical. And you should not do that. Paul actually calls us to submit to each other, as I said in verse 20 of Ephesians 5. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, what we often do is we read a verse like this, but we forget the verse right above it. And the verse right above it tells us everything that we need to know about submission. It is out of reverence for Christ. Ladies, when you're asked to submit, it is out of reverence for Christ. Gentlemen, when you're asked to submit, because you're the husband, doesn't mean that there's not a place of submission for you as well, because sometimes you have to submit your own will, and that is done out of reverence to Christ. The issue today is that we have extremes. We have the extreme of men who pound their fists and tell their wives to submit, and then we have women who often hear, I heard this just the other day in the grocery store, and I stopped in the grocery store, took them on the phone, and took this note. I heard two ladies have this conversation, and she said, "Well, Sister Clarice," I don't, her name wasn't Clarice, but she said, "Oh, Sister, he may be the head of the household, but I'm the neck that controls the head." And I just, at first I thought, man, that's pretty funny. But then I thought, that's really sad. Because what that means is that, see, when we, the submission issue that we have here is that when men ask their wife, or they pound their fist, they get to that place, oh, you want to submit to me, you want to do all these things, what are we doing? We're as wrong as that, the ladies do not. There was a queen in the Old Testament time that we often hear about. If you've been in church for very long, you've heard of the Jezebel spirits. The Jezebel spirit is from Queen Jezebel. She was the queen to King Ahab, and she was so persuasive that she managed to talk Ahab out of following God. She actually managed to talk him out of not only following God, but to instead follow a god of nature instead. On top of that, she was so persuasive, trying to have such a power that she eventually killed many prophets of God. As you read through. Why? Because she was so against the authority that God gave her husband, that she was going to lead her husband instead of allowing her husband and her to be together in the way that it was called. And so we have to understand that both sides of these are wrong. Listen, men, if you are, I'm going to say this now, I'm going to get to it later, but I'm going to say this now. If you have to tell your wives that they should be submitting to you, then you're not leading your wife correctly. Very clear. You should never have to tell your wife that she has to submit. Why? Because our job is to create an environment in which she wants to submit to. But ladies, there is this feminist movement that has been common in the last 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And it becomes a problem when we begin to have problems and go against what Scripture says. Every creature in God is respected. But you cannot get away from the idea that God has clearly laid out roles for us in Scripture. There are roles for husbands, there are roles for wives. There are a way that we can live together. And we have to understand that. It starts out with, we have to understand that submission isn't giving anything up. It's aligning yourself beside your husband in love. Submission isn't giving up of yourself and giving up of your will and giving up of all of those things. It's aligning yourself with the person beside you who loves you. See, the truth of the matter is that the basic meaning of submission would be recognizing and honoring the greater responsibility of your husband to supply and to supply your protection and sustenance. Your willingness to yield to his authority in Christ and to be inclined to follow his leadership is what submission is. The reason that I say submission means a disposition or to yield, or an inclination, I should say, is that little phrase to ask to the Lord in verse 22 limits the scope of submission. As I said before, no husband should ever ask their wives, and no wife should follow the husbands into sin. If your husband or wife is asking you to follow them into sin, you need to stop. You need to address the situation, and you need to not allow that to go any further. But even where a Christian wife may have to stand up and stand with Christ against the sinful will of her husband, she still is called to have a spirit of submission. In fact, Scripture also tells us that if you married an unbeliever today, if you're here today and your wife is an unbeliever or your husband is an unbeliever, then how are you supposed to win them to Christ? You're supposed to win them to Christ by your relationship with Christ, by your submission to Christ, by your submission to them. Not allowing them to lead you into sin, but allowing them to walk with you. Husbands, understand what we're being called to do here, though. It's a very difficult thing when we read this word submission for ladies to understand. In the culture we live in today, we live in a culture where everything tells us men are, let's face it, they want to take the two genders and make them into one. That's what the concept is today. They're trying to blur the lines in between them. There is no longer a place for men to be men. If you look at this, this has been an attack on Christian men for many years. All you have to do is watch TV and you can see that. But the truth of the matter is that we have to understand that there's nothing wrong with what God did. God understood what he was doing when he made these roles up. There's nothing wrong with that. It is our description and our living out what is those rules has been the problem. See, the truth of the matter is, when in weddings, in asking, when Paul asked wives to submit to their husbands, it wasn't asking that they could be trampled upon under his foot. It wasn't taking from man's head so that she could rule over him. When God created women, he took Eve from the rib of Adam underneath of his arm, so that in that idea of submission, it means that Eve and Adam could walk hand in hand, that Eve could be under his arm of protection, close to his heart in love. Now, it's very important to understand this, because not only are you asked to submit to your husband, but wives, you're also asked to submit to Christ. In your submission to your husband, you're also submitting to Christ in the same way. Yes, husbands are called to lead, but we're also called to submit to Christ as well. Husbands, if you're here today, you are called to submit to Christ. To understand what that means, I'm going to get to you. I'll get to the men here in a moment, a little bit more than that. But it's becoming all that He wants us to become. I love Paul's use of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 says that a man shall leave his wife and cleave, leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two flesh shall become one. In that becoming of one flesh, see, the goal of marriage isn't that the husbands can rule over their wives. The goal of marriage is that the two shall become one. When two become one, you are taking all, and I say this, they're not here, but I had a wonderful conversation with Aiden and Lucas a couple months ago about this sort of thing. But when you get married, right, husbands, we have milk crates, we have plywood that we use as tables, those types of things, right? The wives are usually the ones that come with all of the nice couches and coffee tables and those types of things. And when you become one, when you get married, the wife goes, we're not taking those milk crates. Those are staying out in the garage, right? You take all of your stuff and bring it together and you become one. But in the same way, our hearts and minds are doing the same thing. We have ways. We have lives that we're trying to form together as one. May I say to you ladies today, submission is not a dirty word. It's not at all. If you think it's a dirty word, then I ask you to get down to read this again. Ask the Lord to open your eyes and see what it really means. Because it's not. It is a aligning yourself beside the one that loves you, your husband. Now, husbands, it says in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. I'm sorry, and I might be a little harder on guys because I'm a man, right? But I have a real issue with men who often want to say, you should submit. Their wives should submit to them. But they are doing nothing about doing anything else. They leave this portion of the verse out. They really do. They're quick to quote that their wives should submit to their husbands, but how quick are they to then jump and say, asking themselves, are you loving your wives as Christ loved the church? How did Christ love the church? That's a theory, rhetorical question, because I think we all know. He died on the cross for the church. He gave everything that he had up for her. He gave his own sweat, blood, and tears in life and laid everything down for her. And so when Paul calls us to love our wives as Christ loved the church, what he's actually calling us to do is lay down our own desires, our own will, everything. Right now, lay down our life for her. To provide an environment in which she can and be willing to and want to submit to. He goes on and says that he might sanctify her, having her cleansed by the washing of the water with the word. The other problem that I have today is, if you look around here, oftentimes in most churches today, you'll find a lot of single ladies in the church, but you don't find a lot of, let me rephrase it. You find a lot of ladies who are married and their husbands are not here at church. That's a problem. The problem is because we are supposed to be leading our families and leading our relationship, leading our wives as the way that Christ led us. And so we should be, the church should be full of men who are on fire for Christ, not full of ladies who are on fire for Christ. And the reason why it's reversed and it's that way is because we have a whole bunch of men who have taken a pass on church and who are lazy about coming to church. And so someone had to step up and do it. And guess what it became? It became ladies. In most churches, you will find the ladies' ministry three times the size of men's ministries. It's the truth. Barna says that it's three times on average. So if you take it and you figure out that if a men's ministry has 10 people, that means the ladies' ministry has about 30. Guess what? We're not so far off of the number here in our own church. Because we have a lot of men who decide that they're just not going to do men's ministry or whatever, and they take a break from it. Or we have the problem with men don't come to church at all. Where are the men who will stand up and lead their wives and their families like Christ led the church? That's what we're supposed to be. Men, we're supposed to be the ones who are leading them. We're supposed to be the ones that are providing the environment where it says, I want to be there. I want to provide an environment. I want to provide an environment for my wife. So appealing, not only for her to submit to me, but appealing more importantly that she'll submit to Christ. I want to be the one that has to, at night, when we're laying in bed and we're really tired and we're about ready to fall asleep, my wife should never have to remind me, hey, we should pray. I should be the one that says, hey, we need to pray. Before dinner, before we start scarfing down the food, she should not be the one. I should be. Why? That doesn't mean that they can't. I'm not saying that you, ladies, you can't do that. But what I'm saying is, men, we are supposed to be the ones. We're supposed to be the ones who are leading our families and leading our wives in that way. How do we do that? We love our wives as Christ loved the church. We sanctify her. What does it mean to sanctify her? That means to lift her up. To give her glory, to honor. Stop talking about the old ball and chain to your buddies on your job and start lifting her up. It does matter, by the way, what you say. And this goes for wives, too. When you're not with your husband and your wife, and you're with your girlfriends, or you're with your friends at work, guys, and we talk about the old ball and chain, or you talk about the, I can't believe it's such a pain, right? That matters. Because what's coming out is what's in your heart. Speak and lift her up. Lift him up. Respect him. Love her. Love each other in that way. And then Paul doesn't stop there. He says, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. No way to get around this, man. We are the ones who are supposed to be spiritually leading our families. And too often that's not the case. He goes on, so that we might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is where this sacred marriage goes in to say, it's not, marriage isn't just about making you happy, it's about making you holy. Husbands and wives are supposed to make each other holy so that we can present each other to Christ without spot, without wrinkle. The bells are And then he goes on saying, the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Are you loving your wife? Husbands, are you loving your wives the way that you love yourself? I mean, the reality of that is that's convicting to me. I know that. Because I think to myself, do I love my wife the same way that I love myself? Do I want to desire to bring her and give her good things and provide a good environment for her the way that I want to provide a good environment for me? We shouldn't be asking ourselves that question. We should be seeking that. Now, if you're here today and you're not married, if you're here today and you're thinking about getting married, these are the qualities that you should be looking for. Listen, if you're here and you're single and you're thinking about getting married, does the prospective person that you're about ready to marry display these types of qualities? Because if they don't, you should leave. If you're married and they don't display those types of qualities, you should get to your knees. You're not allowed to leave. But you should get to your knees and start praying and asking the Lord how to go further. But listen, we have to understand that this verse is not just for married people. This is also an example of what it means for the church. Verse 29, for no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Paul is making a switch. You understand that he talks about wives, he talks about husbands, and then he begins to make this switch. And he begins to talk about this relationship with Christ. So the question that we really get to is, first of all, let me say, husbands, are you loving your wives? Are you providing the environment that she wants to spend in? Jesus provided the very environment that he wanted us to submit to. You understand that? I challenge you to find fault in Jesus and anything that he did. There's no fault in what Jesus did. Everything that he did was to provide an environment for us to submit to. Before it was the law, we had to follow the law to have our sin forgiven. We had to go through animal sacrifices. We had to go to the temple and have the burnt offering and all of these things going on. It was lots of steps and lots of issues. And Jesus knew that. So what did he do? He provided an environment which we could easily submit to. What was that submission of that environment? It was for us to give our heart to him. To walk in, to submit fully to him, to understand all that he has. Paul says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and the wife sees that she respects her husband. Paul has learned from the great, I said this in Bible study earlier today, and I love the word, and I'm going to use it again, Dan. Jesus taught in what's called a double autonomy often. And so he had two meanings of the same idea. Paul is doing the same thing. He's talking about marriage, but he's also talking about Christ. He learned a lot from Jesus, from reading and spending time in the readings of Jesus. He learned well from that. And so he goes on to say, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So let me ask you this question. Husbands, are we providing the environment in which our wife wants to submit, but then are you submitting to Christ in the same way that you want your wife to submit to you? Because if you're not, then you have this equation wrong. Because not only are we supposed to submit or provide an environment in which our wife wants to submit to, but then we are to then submit ourselves to Christ in the same way that we want our wife to submit to us. We are the bride of Christ. I love this idea of the bride of Christ because oftentimes when you talk to men, they're like, well, I'm not a bride. Yeah, you are. You're a bride. You're wearing a long white dress.
Sweet.
We are called the bride of Christ. The church is called the bride of Christ. We are the God. Jesus is coming back for his bride. You know that? When he comes, when he returns, it is often called in Revelations and other places in Scripture that he is returning for his bride. He's returning for his body, his Christ, his church that we are. See, when we realize that the church in Christ is marriage, we are the bride of Christ, which calls us to submit to the Lord. When we realize this, we begin to see and understand how this all plays out in our head. We should be submitting to Jesus in the same way that men want our wives to submit. And husbands, we should be leading our wives as Christ has led the church. And we should follow all of those things, put them all together, and understand this is the mystery that he's talking about. You cannot be in Christ unless you submit to fully to him. You cannot be in Christ unless you give up your life and you become humble and you walk with him. When we realize this and we walk in this way, we find out just how much Jesus loves us and how much marriage can teach us to forgive and walk closer to him. Now, I want to, if any of you here today, if you've been married for any amount of time, you know that you're going to fight with your husband or your wife. It happens. That's just nature. That's just part of the relationship. It happens. What happens in the middle of that? You forgive. You learn to forgive. I also say in many marriage ceremonies that one of the greatest things that you can do in your marriage is learn to love to forgive each other. Because it's not just about loving each other and submitting to each other, those sort of things. It's about the most powerful thing you can do in your marriage relationship is, let me rephrase it, the most powerful thing you can do in any relationship is learn to love to forgive. Forgive that person for what they did. Forgive that husband. Forgive that wife for what they did. Forgive that person for speaking when they shouldn't have spoke. It's okay. Learn to forgive them. This is what the idea is all about. When we understand these things and we walk in these things, we are quicker to learn to submit to the Lord. And when we do that, the better we will be. When we become his bride, when we become who he calls us to be. See, it's not just wives who have to learn to submit to their husbands. It's also husbands who have to learn to submit to their husband, Jesus Christ. He is our Christ. He is our Savior. Today, we have to learn to do this. We have to learn to walk in that idea of submission. Learn to walk in that idea of love. Learning to walk in those things that God calls us to do. Because we are not just becoming. Jesus, the idea of marriage, of two becoming one, is the same thing that Jesus is trying to do with us in the church. He's trying to get the church to become one under him. And so not only are we trying to become one in marriage, we should be trying to become one as a body of believers, of following Christ. Today, can we learn to walk in those ways? Can we learn to be the husbands and wives that God calls us to be? Both in our marriages, in our relationships, but even more importantly, in the walk with Christ. The mystery that Paul is talking about. See, the funny thing is that Paul never got married. You know that? He talks a lot about marriage, but he was never married. In fact, he says it's better that you don't get married, is what he said. But if you do, he goes on to say, but if you do it in all humility, in all love, in all respect, in all holiness of Jesus. I've been asked to worship if you can come. Will you stand with me, please? I'm, by the way, not advocating not to get married. Marriage is one of the greatest things ever. We live in a world that is trying to do everything intercultural and to Christianize it in our culture. Our worldview today is being attacked on every side. I don't know if you understand this, but I mean, we're more recently, there has been some more things that may align with the way we feel politically in some ways maybe not. But at the end of the day, the world is still against everything that is Christian. It doesn't matter who's president, it doesn't matter who's running the Congress or the Senate or the House, it doesn't matter any of those things. Because the world is telling you all these things. And so for many, many years, marriages have taken their cue from watching TV and watching shows and watching those things. Many movements have been started because it just felt right. Today, if you go out into the marketplace, if you go out to the store, if you go out to a grocery store, you walk out to on your job and you say, hey, does your wife submit to you? I dare you to walk up to someone in the grocery store and say, especially to a lady, I dare you, walk up to a lady and ask them, do you submit to your husband?
No.
And you come back with two black eyes on the public. But the truth of the matter is if we understand exactly what that word submission means, and we understand exactly what it was meant to be, that is not a bad thing. See, that's what I'm talking about, the attack against our culture, the attack against our worldview. It has become so anti-Christian and all of the things that some of those beliefs have crept into the church. Now, I will say that it also has been abused. This idea of submission has been abused. And that's why I'm very quick to say, if you have to tell your wife that she needs to submit to you, you're not providing an environment that she is wanting to submit to. 29 years of my life, I've never once told my wife that she has to submit to me. Now, I'm a smart man, that's why. No, I'm kidding. No, it's because I don't have to tell her those things because she respects and loves me enough that out of the reverence for Christ, she's going to do that. But also, hopefully, I pray, I have to ask her, but I pray that I am provided an environment that she's willing and wanting to submit to because I place her higher than my own life. I lay down my desires. I lay down my will. I lay down my, I want to watch this instead of that. We're just watching some HBO Falling Skies, I think it's called. Did I want to watch this, the show? No, I did not want to watch the show. But my wife did, so I laid down my desire to watch something else and let her watch the show. It's a simple, I'm not asking for accolades because I didn't watch the show, I wanted to cheat. That's as simple as it can be, but do you think less of, getting back to humbleness, do you think less of yourself than you do your wife? Do you think less of yourself than you do your husband? Because that's what we're called to do. And then let's take it one step further. You think less of yourself than the person sitting next to you. Because according to Paul, before he even talks about wives submitting to husbands, we are out of reverence of Christ supposed to submit to each other. And so if we are to submit to each other, it starts with the life in Christ. It's not easy to submit. Listen, I understand that. But when Jesus is in us and leading us and guiding us, that makes it all worth it. We follow his example of him laying down his life, submitting to his Father in heaven. All of this begins with a relationship with Christ. All of this begins with having your life in Christ. Because what Paul was talking about here, this mystery, is us being willing to submit our desires, our will to him. For what he did on the cross. He made it so simple. He did everything. He laid down his life for us. So that we can submit to him and have everlasting life with our Father. And so he calls each and every one of us to do the same. Here in a moment, we're going to pray, but I want to ask you, have you submitted your heart truly to him? And then second of all, I want to ask you husbands that are in this room, if you're here today, you're married and you're a husband, have you submitted or have you created an environment in which your wife wants to submit to? Stop leading with a closed fist and start leading with a prayer fist that we're hands together. Providing an environment to do that. And then finally, wives, willing to submit to your husband? Are you willing to respect and love him in the way that the way Jesus asked us to? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are. Lord, these verses certainly aren't easy. I get that. But you require us to walk in. And Paul, when Paul spoke about walking in submission in this mystery, he meant what you have done on the cross. And it was our goal, it is our job to follow you in the way that you do. It is our job as husbands to provide an environment in which our wives want to submit to us. It is our job, it's the job of the wives who are here today to respect and love their husband and in many ways give of themselves so that they can be aligned in love with their husbands. But all of this is just a beautiful picture of what you have done for us. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our hearts that he died on the cross and he is our Savior. We ask for forgiveness of our sins and we can have everlasting eternal life. And so it starts with submitting yourself to him. If you're here today and you've never done that, may today be this day where you laid down, voluntarily laid down your desires, your will for what he has, because what he has for us is such a beautiful picture. More beautiful than anything that we've ever had. Husbands, if you're here today, may I implore you to provide an environment in which God can lead you to allowing a place where your wife wants to submit. And wives, if you're here today, when you're here today, you're thinking about this, I pray that the Lord leads you in the understanding that submission is not a bad word. It's not a bad thing. It's not a, I'm giving everything up. It is instead, I am living and aligning myself with Him. And if He provides the environment, it's actually not giving anything up. It's everything. And we be those that do that today, Father. And we walk in that love. And we walk in Your ways. May You lead us and guide us not only this day, but every day. As we learn to submit to You daily, Father. Submitting our desires and our will to You. We love You, Lord. We glorify You, we honor You, we lift You high and mighty in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing this verse of love together.
Singing this song, or singing, it's not too late.
not too late. If you haven't met the husband that you need to be for your wife, it's not too late. It's not too late to ask the Lord to forgive you and to provide an environment, ask your wife to forgive you and to provide an environment which you will be submitted to. Your wife, if you're here today, it's not too late for you to do the same. It's not too late. The Lord loves you. He's a God of second chances, and He provides them for us all the time. Most importantly, it's not too late to submit to Him. It's not too late to give your own desires, your own will, up to Him for what He has done for us. So may I encourage you today to learn to walk in submission. Doesn't matter if you're a husband, doesn't matter if you're a wife. All that matters is that we're submitting to Christ. Encourage you to learn to walk that way. That God needs you in your relationships. That God, most importantly, allow to lead you in His salvation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are still doing. We lift our marriages up to you today, Father. We say, bless them. We lift each other up in this place and ask you to bless our relationship with each other. Help us in reverence of Christ submit by submitting to each other. Father, help us to do that today. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you call us to walk in. Lord, find you, we honor you, we praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. God bless you all. See you again next week. Have a wonderful week.